This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
And at this time, I'd like the pages to introduce themselves. Tell us a bit about what your current endeavors are and what your future might bring.
My name is Alexandra Hansen. I go to Hardin County High School, and eventually I want to teach English as a second language.
My name is Ruth Burkhalter. I live in Prairie City, South Dakota, and I am planning on being a math teacher and going to Northern.
It's good that Northwestern South Dakota is well represented here today. And I would remind folks, including myself, to turn your cell phone off. And the penalty for the cell phone going off will be you provide jerky for the entire committee in the next meeting. At this time, the secretary will call the roll.
Senators Farix.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ewing,
here.
Jensen,
here.
Rampelberg,
here.
Rush,
here.
Valley,
here.
Olson, Kamak,
here. There is a quorum. At this time, we'd ask a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Jensen and seconded by Senator Rampelberg. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
We would remind testifiers that you need to, if you plan on testifying, to be sure that you sign in legibly. And anyone that might be a lobbyist, be sure that you're wearing a badge. And any handouts that you might have for the committee, have the pages take care of handing those out. And any questions that are to come to the committee will be addressed through the chair. Are there any changes to today's agenda? If not, we will start out with the consideration of bills. The first bill that we've got before us is House Bill 1018 to define certain terms related to commercial fertilizer and soil amendments.
Good morning, Chairman Kamak, members of the committee. My name is Brandon Bashirs. I'm the Director of Agricultural Services for the Department of Agriculture. We are responsible for most of the regulatory programs that are administered by the department, including fertilizer and feed. And I'm here this morning to support Bill 1018. What this bill does, in the Fertilizer and Soil Amendment Program, we enforce all the regulations that are found in 3819 and 19A of the South Dakota Code. Essentially, what we do with this is approve product labels and analysis claims on fertilizer products, test samples from retail locations through a surveillance program to make sure that the product meets the standards and is what it says on the tag so the consumers get what they're paying for, is pretty much the gist of the program. What this bill does, it's just simply a housekeeping measure that takes a definition of manipulated manure and puts it into the statutes. Currently, the the definition of commercial fertilizer that's in our statutes recognizes everything except mentions that unmanipulated manure is not a fertilizer, which through industry process or industry standards and what the department has done in the past with that is considered manipulated manure to be a type of commercial fertilizer, and there's a tonnage fee for that that's included in South Dakota rules. We do have a few people in the state who sell manipulated manure, and they do that partially because then they don't have a manure management plan with the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. It also gives them another commercial opportunity for the product. However, there is no definition of manipulated manure currently in the statute. We've been relying on a definition that's that the American Association of Plant Food Control Officers, which is the 50 state plus territories gathering of the fertilizer regulators from each state, or the governing body that comes up with definitions for these types of products. They do have a definition of manipulated manure, and that's what we're planning to put into the statute. That's what the department's been using for 20 years is my understanding how long we've been using that definition. So this is really just a cleanup to make sure that that's in the statute to provide clarity for industry and people that want to sell the product. It doesn't change anything that we do currently. It doesn't increase any fees or decrease any fees. It doesn't start regulating any new products. It just simply clarifies what we've been doing in the past and what we plan to do in the future. So with that, I'll just leave it open. I'll be available for questions if you have any.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brenda Foreman. I'm here on behalf of South Dakota Dairy Producers and South Dakota Association of Cooperatives. And we appreciate the department's clarification in defining what they have put in law and working with the industry. So with that, we would ask your support of the bill. Thank you.
Are there any further proponents? If there are no further proponents, would there be any opponents? If there are no opponents, we would open it up for questions. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does this change any taxing consequences?
Mr. Chairman. Senator Peterson, no, it doesn't. Manipulated manure by rule currently has a 5 cent per ton tonnage fee on it. This would not include any new products into that category or exclude any. It simply just makes a definition of what we've been putting into that category of 5 cent a ton. It just clarifies that in the statute.
I'll follow up if I may.
Yes, Senator Peterson.
What I'm wondering is how this affects organic farmers. Organic farmers will use this product, manipulated manure, and they can legally do that and still be organic. Does this have a tax consequence for them? Will they be being taxed on this as a...
No, Mr. Chair. No, the way that it operates, it's the producer of the fertilizer, or in this case, the manipulated manure, that pays the tonnage fee, the manufacturer. So it would be, rather than a manufacturer in this situation, it would be the typically poultry farm is where it comes from at this moment. But so they would pay the fee. It wouldn't be passed on to the producer, the actual purchaser of the product. And again, it's just with manipulated manure, is typically it's drying it down and adding something into it. As far as just composting or people in their gardens or organic producers that are just trying to use what they have on their farm or buying from a nearby farm on it, we're not looking to include anything new in the category or trying to go out of our way to get them.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any further questions? Senator Valley.
So is this put into law in other places then? Let's say there's some restrictions on where you can use fertilizer, and is manipulative manure going to be included in that? It's not going to be what we would say a commercial fertilizer, so is that carried through then on other in our code anywhere?
What it would do, Mr. Chair, if I may, what it would do, it adds the definition of manipulated manure, so that commercial fertilizer include the definition of commercial fertilizer includes any unmanipulated manure.
So speak a little slower,
sure,
and use the mic a little bit closer so that I can hear you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
The definition of commercial fertilizer includes unmanipulated manure, does not include unmanipulated manure. So this adds manipulated manure to that definition of commercial fertilizer. So through the rest of the code simply refers to commercial fertilizer. So in this case, any place where commercial fertilizer is regulated, then manipulated manure would be included in that category, yes.
Okay.
And it's what we find, industry that chooses to sell it, they choose to sell it this way. We don't go out of our way to include in that category. They come to us and say that they want to sell the product in this way. So,
thank you.
Are there any further questions? Thank you. If there are no further questions or comments at this time, we'd close public testimony and move it on to discussion and or action. Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to pass on House Bill 1018.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Frerichs and seconded by Senator Ewing. that it's due pass on House Bill 1018. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is actually a fairly significant industry. I mean, we know that in terms of organic farming, I mean, some organic farmers may cover 1,200 to 3,000 acres at times, and they will get this turkey litter in. I think most of the time it even probably comes out from out of state, and so obviously the department has to probably work with those wholesalers that may not always even be located in South Dakota to collect whatever type of inspection fees and things like that. But I can understand some of the hesitation from folks that we need to be a little careful about smaller operations and those that may do the composting themselves and sell it to a neighbor. So hopefully that still would be under some thresholds, but I can understand why this needs to be defined in statute.
Thank you. Any further comments or discussion? If there's no further comments or discussion at this time, the motion is do pass on House Bill 1018. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. And the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Frerichs?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Olson? Excused. Kamak?
Aye.
Eight ayes, one excuse.
There are eight ayes for due pass on 1018.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Peterson.
Move consent.
Second. It's been moved by Senator Peterson, seconded by Senator Jensen to move it on to consent. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The House Bill 1018 will move on to the floor, due pass on the consent calendar. We will move on to House Bill 1019, and that's to revise certain provisions related to the milk sampling and grading licenses and tester and grader licenses.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Brandon Shears back again for this bill, round two in the dairy. House Bill 1018, I'm here to support this bill. What this does, it is, again, sort of a similar red tape kind of cleanup of our code, simplify things both for the department and for the dairy industry. Under our code right now, there's samplers and graders of milk are required to get a license from the department. This is to help to meet our obligations under the pasteurized milk ordinance so the grade A milk can be sold out of South Dakota throughout the nation. To get those licenses, typically for truck drivers mainly, but anyone who's pulling official samples of milk and sell in labs or sending those to us for testing. What we do currently with this, the license is good for 1 year. You get your license in, say, February if you apply for a license, and it's good for a year, then you renew it every February. What we've found, we've gotten requests from industry, particularly some of the big processing plants. They typically pay this fee for their truckers. So they'll, you know, if they've got 10, 15, 20 truckers, they'd rather just do it all at once instead of having a bill come every month. And we'd rather not send a bill every month. We'd rather process them all at once. So the goal of this bill is to simply move all of those licenses so that they're due on the beginning of the fiscal year rather than processing them throughout the year. So that is our sole intention with this bill. It doesn't change the fee or increase it, decrease it, or modify the length of the license. Just simply moves it all to 1 day a year so that we can send out fewer letters, or we can spend less time processing it, and the processors can spend less time doing paperwork. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents?
Good morning again, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brenda Foreman. I'm here on behalf of South Dakota Dairy Producers. It has been clarified by the earlier testifier. This does clarify the situation, and within the industry, anything that makes it more direct and easier to do, we greatly appreciate. So thank them for bringing this, and we'd ask for your support.
Are there any further proponents? If there are no further proponents, are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? If there are none at this time, we'd open it up for questions by the committee. If there are no questions, at this time we'll close public testimony and move it back to the committee for discussion and or action.
Chair, move to pass House Bill 1019.
Second. Senator Jensen moves do pass on House Bill 1019 and seconded by Senator Valley. Is there any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, at this time the motion is do pass on House Bill 1019. All those in favor say aye, those opposed say nay, and the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Frerichs?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ewing? Excused. Jensen?
Aye.
Brampelberg?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Olson? Excused. Kamak?
Aye.
Seven ayes.
There are seven ayes for the do pass recommendation on House Bill 1019.
Mr. Chair, move consent.
This, Senator Jensen moves consent, seconded by Senator Peterson. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
House Bill 1019 passes, is sent back to the floor with a due pass and on the consent calendar. We'll move on to House Bill 1020, and that's to revise certain provisions concerning fire prevention and compacts related to the prevention and control of forest fires.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kyle Holt. I'm the Deputy Secretary for the South Dakota Department of Agriculture. I'm here today in support of House Bill 1020, which pertains to our Wildland Fires Division. Section 1 of this legislation simply provides some cleanup. Readers are currently directed to an old chapter of state law. This legislation will update that reference with the appropriate title, chapter, and section numbers. The second and third sections of this legislation amend existing statute to formalize the ability of provinces of Canada to join the Great Plains Interstate Fire Compact. Our Wildland Fire Division conducts fire management and suppression activities within our state. As members of this compact, our firefighters can assist on fires within participating states, and those states can assist South Dakota should we need it. By allowing Canadian provinces to join the compact, we can support them in their times of need, but we also gain valuable access to their resources, particularly firefighting aircraft. These additional resources could be invaluable to South Dakota firefighters, especially in a situation where there's no further national resources available. I appreciate your support on House Bill 1020, and I'll be available for questions. Thank you.
Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? If none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1020? Any further opponents? If none, do we have any questions for the sponsor of the bill? Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Undersecretary, I just have a curiosity. You know, if they're using the slurry bombers from Canada and they have to tank in the United States in order to fight the fire, are there special provisions that have to be set in place in order for them to be able to land without going through a port of entry?
No, I don't believe so. I think that helps clear this up under these circumstances. We've already have a mechanism in place for as far as paying for these services. If we go to another state, we get reimbursed for our costs for our firefighters. If they come here, we reimburse them. So I think we'll have similar agreements with the Canadian provinces. To my understanding, it looks like Saskatchewan right now is the one that's most likely to join under these circumstances.
Thank you. Any further questions? Senator Valley.
Do we have other compacts like this with foreign countries, whether they're, you know, like Canada or Mexico on compacts? Is there a history of this, or is this something new?
I'm not familiar with, broadly speaking, this would be the first time under the current compact that we're working in that we would have a foreign country. Right now, part of that compact, I believe we have Nebraska, Wyoming, Montana, Colorado, and North Dakota. So this would add any Canadian compacts or any Canadian provinces that wish to join that. But as far as broadly speaking, I don't know if we've done anything like this in the past.
Thank you.
Any further questions? I do have a question, or I guess I'd like to have you give just a quick summary of the activities under the compact that we have now within the states that occurred this summer.
Sure. Yeah. So the way our compact works is actually a good deal on a number of levels for the state of South Dakota. We had not a very busy fire season this last summer here in South Dakota. These compacts allow our firefighters to go out to other states and do work and assist where they're needed. It benefits our firefighters. They go out, they get on-the-job training, they get additional experience. They come back to South Dakota with that new knowledge and experience that they've gained. It's beneficial to South Dakota because when they're away from South Dakota working, whichever state they're working in pays for them. So they actually come off of South Dakota's payroll at that time, and then we get reimbursed for their services. So it's beneficial to everyone. Obviously, it's good to be good neighbors to your surrounding states if there's something we can do to assist them. And so it's been a very beneficial thing for us to this point.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? If there's no further question at this time, we'll close public testimony and move it back to the committee for discussion and or action.
Chair.
Senator Valley.
I move due pass on House Bill 1020.
It's been moved by Senator Valley and seconded by Senator Rampelberg. Due pass on House Bill 1020. Is there any further discussion? Senator Valley.
Well, I think this is a good move. I don't know of any other two countries that get along as well as Canada and the United States do, and if we can help them and they can help us in fighting wildfires, I think that's a real plus. So I'd urge your support.
Any further comments or discussion? If there are none, the motion is due pass on House Bill 1020. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. And the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Frerichs?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ewing? Excused. Jensen?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Olson? Excused. Kamak?
Aye.
Seven ayes.
The due pass recommendation is passes.
Mr. Chair, move consent.
Senator Valley moves consent.
Second.
Seconded by Senator Jensen. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
With the House Bill 1020, we'll move on to the floor with a due pass recommendation and on the consent calendar. We will move on to Senate Bill 80. It's a bill that will limit certain liabilities for hosts of fishing tournaments.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Corey Brown. I'm a senator from District 23. And in fact, the bill you have before you today, Senate Bill 80, kind of resonates out of my district. You know, it was brought to my attention this past year that we have certain communities that tend to host fishing tournaments and other events. And in fact, one of those is Mobridge, where they hold both a major rodeo and have really created a spectacular fishing tournament event. It just so happens that some of the people that helped to organize both of those events came under the realization that in the rodeo world, there's an equine law that basically states that sponsors of that event are not going to be held liable for risks that are inherently associated with the sport of rodeo or equine. By doing that, what they realize when they go to get liability insurance policies, those rates are substantially lower for the rodeo event than what they are for the fishing tournaments. Part of the reason for that is because the law states that they're not held liable for those risks that are inherent in rodeo. So the question was kind of posed, why could something not similar be done for the fishing tournaments that exist as well. There's no guarantee that under Senate Bill 80, insurance rates will come down. However, I think it does help to clarify for these Chamber of Commerce's, these small organizations that try to set out to sponsor these events, that at the end of the day, they're not going to be viable if someone capsizes a boat or falls through the ice during a fishing tournament, because those would be things that would normally be inherent in the sport of fishing. So what we do with Senate Bill 80 is it's an attempt to try to apply a similar concept from the equine world over to the fishing world, so that we can continue to have these events and promote activities up and down the Missouri River. With that, I'll stand by for questions. I think there are obviously a few other people that would like to testify, but I appreciate your consideration this morning on Senate Bill 80.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee, Michelle Harrison, representative from District 23. I have been personally involved in both rodeos, putting a producer of rodeos and fishing tournaments, and they are similar. There are inherent risks to both, participating in both. Prior to the statute that many states have adopted for equine events, it was very difficult to find liability insurance for the hosts of those events. Very difficult. And if we could find them, it was very expensive. So many states have adopted a statute similar to this for equine events. So being both putting on the Sitting Bull Stampede and now the fishing tournament, the ice fishing tournament in Mobridge, we found out that we needed a statute like this for ice fishing tournaments or fishing tournaments in general. These events are very big boons for our area, economic development, tourists, tourism. It really helps our area, and it's just getting really expensive to put them on. As producers, we're not trying to shirk our responsibility of, you know, keeping our participants safe, but there has to be some kind of they have to know that there is an inherent risk to participating in some of these events, and I would appreciate that you would adopt this bill. Thank you.
Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Michelle Brisch, and I'm here representing the South Dakota Hotel and Lodging Association. These fishing tournaments, whether they're in the summer or in the winter, are a great way for our communities to bring visitors into the area. And these are visitors, of course, that shop in our stores, they buy gas, and in our case, of course, they fill hotel rooms, and especially in the winter months, it's important, and especially in smaller towns, it's important to help some of these businesses get through that what would be a slower time of the year. And I think it also, when it brings in these sometimes thousands of visitors to these areas, it leaves them with a great impression of how beautiful South Dakota is and, you know, what some of our recreational opportunities are. We'd like to encourage the removal of any obstacles that may discourage the hosting of these events, and we think this bill does that. So would encourage your support. Thank you.
Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? If none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 80? Any opponents? If there are none, we would open up to questions by the committee. Senator Rush.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask this for Senator Brown. While you're coming up there, I guess I would say I've been a boater for 35 years, and I've certainly had my share of scraped docks in that time, but I've never hit anybody, and nobody's ever hit me during that time. And I was concerned in reading this that it basically excuses negligent conduct on the part of, I'm looking at page 2, lines 10 through 13, that it defines inherent risk of fishing as being negligent behavior by other people, including failing to maintain control over the boat or their watercraft or not acting within their ability. Is that the terms that occur in the rodeo immunity statute, that it excuses negligent behavior on the part of other participants? Or
I think Senator Rush, Mr. Chair, the intent of this bill, and I think the way I read this, it does not exclude negligent behavior on the part of the sponsors. That subsection D that you're looking at is really referring to other participants and saying that the sponsors can't be held liable for their negligence, the other participants that are part of the event. And I probably should have clarified that in my initial testimony. Clearly, if the sponsors are negligent, the intent, at least my intent with this bill, is that there is still a liability risk there. If they're doing something as sponsors that would cause problems or cause a liability to exist, then, you know, at least my intent would be that they can still be held liable. So it doesn't remove all liability from the sponsors of these events, just they would have to demonstrate some kind of negligence. And the intent with that subsection D is just, at least the way I read that, was to remove negligence. The sponsors are not liable for negligence of the participants amongst each other, not necessarily themselves.
Senator Rush.
Could I ask a follow-up, please? And I guess Senator, I understood that was probably the intent, but then when I read I guess it's on page 2, line 17 and 18, there is that no fishing tournament sponsor, fishing professional, or any other person is liable for an injury or death resulting from the inherent risk of fishing, and then the inherent risk of fishing is defined in 5 as including that negligent manner. So as I interpreted that, you know, if I was a participant in a fishing tournament and the guy in the boat next door next to me swings over and runs across my boat, that in fact he's a participant and that I could not recover from him even though he was, you know, negligent in what he did there. And that's my concern.
Yeah. And Mr. Chair, you know, as I read that, I can see where maybe that connection could be made, and certainly I'm open to amending this in a way that would not open that door if there's a way to do that, which I would imagine there is.
Okay. Any further questions or comments? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had underlined the same lines in here that the good senator just asked about. And help me to understand this. First, we're on line 17, page 2, we say any other person. And then up above, we've got collisions with other boats and watercrafts. But then we go over to page 3, and it says it doesn't remove your liability. On page 3, line 11, commits an act or omission that constitute willful or wanton disregard for the safety of the participant. We're going back and saying, if you know, I can understand if this bill is just for sponsors, but it goes for participants here too. There, do we reinstate the liability of the participant if he causes a collision on page 3, line 11?
Maybe. Mr.
The good senator Chairman, at the end can probably answer that.
The willful and wanton is, Mr. Chairman, the willful and wanton is a much higher standard than the negligence. So, indeed, this does reinstate if they, I don't know, that's probably not legally correct, but if you're grossly negligent, this reinstates that. But if you're simply negligent, it doesn't, would be how I would interpret those two. So they're really not in conflict, but it does put a much higher burden by somebody who was injured would have to show before they could recover.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I might offer a suggestion, and certainly this is kind of on the fly, so I, you know, would look for the advice from the judge or the members of the committee. But I'm wondering if it might help clarify or eliminate any confusion if on page 2, line 17, we struck out the "or any other person" phrase that exists there, because then we're simply applying this to fishing professionals and the tournament sponsors. Would that help to satisfy some of the concerns?
Or any other person?
Yeah, if we were to strike out those words.
I know Mr. Tellinghusen had talked to me about this and his concerns about that. I wonder whether I would move maybe that we defer a decision on this until Thursday and allow Mr. Brown, or Senator Brown and Mr. Tellinghusen to talk through what they feel needs to be done in order to make sure that we're not immunizing people we don't want to immunize.
Well, certainly, Senator, I'm open to that. You know, obviously the intent here was to make this as, you know, as it was stated before, to not put up any barriers, especially in these small communities for chambers of commerce, et cetera, that are small and have limited resources. You know, the intent here is to not have extra obstacles that are going to prevent events like that from occurring just simply because of liability concerns. So I'd be more than happy to try to work that out with Mr. Tellinghusen.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I can fully understand the need for the sponsor here, but I'm glad that we have our good judge here on this panel. And, you know, if we can avoid some conflict that could occur in the future, I think it'd be good. I really appreciate you being willing to try to get it all fixed before we pass it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Senator Rampleberg.
Just a quick comment. You know, as I read through the bill, Senator, it appears to me that there may be times that people are standing out on the ice or perhaps along the shore, and everything basically references watercraft. And I imagine it's within there, but you might just give a real hard look at that as well. Thank you.
Okay, certainly. I think that's always one of the things I've appreciated about our process down here in Pierre, unlike some other areas, is that, you know, there's a legitimate effort to try to come to the best answer possible. So if that means a couple of days, let's work that out.
And at this time, I would like to go ahead and continue anyone else that had any comments at this time. If there's anyone that has traveled to testify.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Roger Tellinghusen, registered lobbyist on behalf of the South Dakota Trial Lawyers. I won't take much time. I apologize for being late. I was tied up in another committee, but I do thank Senator Brown for his willingness to get together and try and work through some of the concerns that I had that have been expressed by Senator Peterson and by Senator Rush as to whether or not the immunity from liability is maybe broader than what was originally intended. And so I'll be happy to sit down with him and be of whatever assistance I can be. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to testify, either or their proponent or opponent at this time, that might have traveled from out of town? If not, I believe what we're going to do is we're going to defer action on Senate Bill 80 until Thursday at the committee meeting at 10 o'clock. And I don't believe that requires any vote or anything, does it? Okay. All right. So at this time, we're going to defer Senate Bill 80, final action, until Thursday, February 4th. Is there any further business that we need to attend to at this committee meeting? If there's no further business, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by everyone. Senator Rush. We're adjourned. Oh, excuse me. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Now we're adjourned.